T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yeah, I think in 100 is better than 93. So I think, if I can be around it, I'd definitely like to get it. But like I said, if it doesn't mean sacrificing anything to do that. So, you know, I think that if I play the right way, then I'll have a shot at it.
93.7 The Fan time is 4:04. It's brought to you by WeatherSeal Home Services. Just a dollar down can get you a new roof. Sidney Crosby on an individual goal, getting to 100 points. Jake Guentzel, a couple goals off from 40 after another one last night, or Saturday night, excuse me, in a win over the Dallas Stars. Pierre McGuire joins us right now. He's with us Mondays at 4 o'clock. And when we talked to Pierre last week, he said, hey, this is a big road trip for this Penguins team. We'll find out a lot about them in the next few days. So far, Pierre, 3 games down. They've taken a point in each one with only the Rangers game left. Give us your take on what you've seen from the Penguins on this pivotal trip.
Andrew and Chris, really nice to visit with both of you gentlemen. The biggest thing is character and pride in being a Penguin. You can see it. It's pretty apparent. It started out with the shootout loss in Carolina in a game that, you know, they lost the lead late in the game and eventually had to battle and lost the game in a shootout, but they still got the point. But the win in Nashville and the win in Dallas were huge. You take 5 out of 6 on the road in pretty tough environs. That's really well done. Tonight won't be easy. I know the Rangers are going through a rebuild and people are looking at their numbers in the standings, but the Rangers play really hard at MSG. They don't make it an easy game for any player. They're very well coached. David Quinn's a tremendous coach. So, again, if they could pull off this and win tonight, that's just an exemplary road trip. Phenomenal.
Pierre, how much stock do you put in what a team that is bound for the playoffs, in the Penguins' case, what, not quite clinched yet, but very close to, it looks like. What kind of stock do you put in what that team does the last 2-3 weeks of the season? How do you evaluate that in terms of saying who's going to be a threat when the postseason starts?
It's a great question. It's very fair. The way we used to do it in Pittsburgh when we won back-to-back cups wasn't so much how we won or lost. It's what we did in certain situations. What was our face-off play like? What was our power play like? What was our penalty kill like? What was our neutral zone transition game like? What was our in-zone coverage like? Were we getting reliable goaltending? So while you may have gotten check marks by, let's say, 5 of 6 of those things, you may have still lost the game. That's okay. That's how you want to play. So you hear coaches say it all the time. I guess it's the new lingo, play the right way. Well, the right way is dominating faceoffs, not giving up odd man rushes, controlling the neutral zone offensively and defensively, getting stabilized goaltending. So those are the things you really look to.
So what would we say then about the Penguins still having some issues late in games protecting leads generally of late? What can be done to rectify that when there isn't the 3-on-3 or the shootout in the playoffs?
Another great question. It's called asset management. So you figure out the guys that can play in those situations and the guys that are having a tough time. And then you work on it in practice. I mean, part of situational scrimmaging is really important at this time of year because guys get tired of drills. Mundane drills wear guys out. So you situationally scrimmage. Here's how we're going to play in the last 2 minutes of a period. Here, when we're up with the lead. Here's how we're going to play when we're down, when we don't have the lead. So all those different situations, you practice. The best teams do that a lot, especially at this time of the year. And if you're doing that, you make your guys better. But the number one thing is asset management, recognizing the players, who you can have out there and the players you shouldn't have out there.
Talking to Pierre McGuire, Pierre, do the Penguins look like the best team in the Metro to you right now?
They look good. Washington's very good. Washington Capitals are really good. They've won 6 of their last 10. I know Pittsburgh's pretty close at. In fact, Pittsburgh's probably right at the same level. I did Washington's game yesterday with Philly. They didn't really give much of an effort, but they still found a way to win. Ovechkin's kind of cooled out a little bit. He's 2 goals shy of 50. I know Crosby's trying to get to 100 points. Ovechkin's trying to get to 50 goals. He'll probably get there. I would say Washington's a little ahead of Pittsburgh right now.
What's the edge there? What's the difference between the two teams as you
I would say more than anything else is just overall depth at the forward positions. When you don't have Evgeny Malkin and you're Pittsburgh, that's a pretty significant loss. And so what's gone on in Washington is Kuznetsov picks up the pace of his game, which he's done lately, and Lars Eller's picked up the pace of his game, and Nick Dowd, a young kid out of St. Cloud State who came over from L.A., he's starting to play a lot better too. So you add Nick Backstrom to the mix. That's maybe one of the situations where they're a little ahead of Pittsburgh.
Well, we know about Malkin then, Pierre, and we know Matt Murray is going to be crucial. Is it fair to say that high up on the list of guys that are going to be important for this team come the postseason is Jared McCann, another M last name?
Yeah, McCann's been great. I think, again, Jared's done a real good job. And one of the things that I found really interesting when I interviewed Jared two or three weeks ago after a game where he was first star of the game, I said, how come it's worked so well for you in Pittsburgh? He says, because the coach trusts me. He puts me on the ice, and he lets me know that he appreciates my efforts, and he trusts me. What a concept. Confidence in a young player. It's an amazing thing.
We're talking to Pierre McGuire. No Chris Letang tonight. Upper body injury. Keeping with hockey's tradition, they're not going to show their hand. I want to just ask you first about that, Pierre. I watched a 60 Minutes piece on sports betting last night.
Right.
And do you think we'll get to a point where they will put pressure on the NHL to fully disclose what the injuries are?
They already have. Here's the difference. We play a game that has no out-of-bounds. People have weapons in their hands, sticks. You can target. You can hit from behind. You can still take a penalty for hitting from behind, but you can really do some damage. You can do things to players in face-off situations that sometimes don't get detected, especially if you know about an injury situation. So, yeah, I think there's already been pressure on teams to disclose. But I have a hard time believing that that's something that's going to happen real quick just because of the fact that players have sticks in their hands and we have no out of bounds.
Penguins won their last Stanley Cup without Chris Letang. Can they go far without a fully healthy Letang?
It'd be really hard. I mean, you're talking about one of the more dominant defensemen in the league, not just defensively, offensively as well. The Carolina game is a perfect example. If he doesn't get booted out of the game for lipping off to the official, he's probably in the shootout, and maybe Pittsburgh wins that game. He's a really important part of their group. So I think it'd be a big reach for them to be able to say, we're going to be a cup favorite, especially if we don't have Letang. I think that's a huge reach.
Is there a way that the Penguins can win where Phil Kessel is making more plays? Like, I think of the forcing the turnover and then the perfect pass to set up a goal against Dallas. Can they win? Can they go deep? Same question as Letang, with him being more playmaker than pure goal scorer?
Yeah, absolutely. Phil is a tremendous playmaker. He always has been. I think the one thing about Phil, you guys might have asked me this 2 weeks ago, what's going to get Phil going? Phil's got to get his feet moving. Phil's got to want to dominate the puck. Phil's got to want to make plays, and he's starting to do that. You can see, even though it may not be perfect, he's still trying to make a difference in games offensively, which I find really strong, and he'll continue to evolve. Once Malkin comes back, and you guys would probably know that better than I, once Malkin comes back, that changes a lot of the dynamic for that team.
How tough is it to kind of get guys to buy in to, hey, we've got to finish the regular season strong, when they know that it's a near certainty that they're going to be in the playoffs, specifically this Penguins team, Pierre, because they've been through the battles, they've won two of the last three cups? Is that something that has to be, that Mike Sullivan needs to be cognizant of?
Oh, he is cognizant of it, and so are the leaders of the team. And those are the guys that hold the players accountable. Home ice matters a lot. People say it doesn't. I know the Penguins have won all five of their cups on the road. I was part of two of them. I get it. That's a statistical anomaly. It really is. It's harder to win on the road than it is to win at home when it comes to a deciding game. So I would just say that, they know that they got a chance to usurp the Islanders at some point. Tonight, if they were able to win this game in New York and tie the Islanders up, I think that would be huge for them going forward. And who knows, maybe they still win the Metro.
Yeah.
You never know. Washington might let their guard down. But I would say it's really apparent that the team is trying like heck to get to home ice.
Pierre, what do you make of taking Hornquist off the top power play for Guentzel?
Well, Jake's so hot, right? I mean, Jake's just... Jake's a scoring machine, and the chemistry that he has, obviously, with Crosby is phenomenal. I've been watching Jake a long time, and this is a great tribute to the Penguins scouting staff. He's a kid that played at Hill Murray High School in Minnesota, undersized. A lot of people really questioned whether he was going to make it or not. That's how he ended up in Nebraska, Omaha, and not at University of Minnesota, where his dad went, not at St. Cloud, not at Minnesota Duluth, not at North Dakota. He ended up in Nebraska, Omaha. And the Penguins had enough confidence
and their scouts to take him. And he didn't put up gigantic numbers in college in terms of goal scoring, but he did in the American Hockey League once he turned pro. And I think that speaks to the caliber of the scouting staff that the Penguins have and have had for a very, very long time.
Any concerns about Matt Murray wearing down with the big workload?
No, because he missed a lot of games this year. The biggest thing with Matt, and I think he'd be the first person to tell you this, Andrew and Chris, is that he's got to start solidifying things at the end of a game.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's catching pucks or steering rebounds away from the front of the net or coming up large. He comes up really great during key times in the game. Now he's got to focus in on the last 3 to 4 minutes of a game and really bearing down. And he's aware of it. He doesn't need me or anybody else to tell him that. He knows that stuff.
How do you explain something like that? Because when I think about it, it just doesn't make sense to me that
no,
it could happen that way.
No, it's a good point. It doesn't to me either, but that's why I brought it up. I mean, you know, Tommy Barrasso, you knew going into the end of a game, he was a lead pipe cinch to close the door. And he just had this bravado to him, and he was able to do it. And Marc-Andre Fleury, I think, was much the same, just talking about great Penguin goalies over time. And I think Matt Murray's one of those guys. He's just, again, got to get into a groove and figure it out, and I think he can clearly do that.
Pierre, Rob Gronkowski retired last night.
Yes.
Zion Williamson beat UCF with a great finish.
Mm-hmm.
Freak athletes. When you look back on your hockey career, watching, scouting, everything, who comes to mind as the top freak athletes within the sport you watch and love?
Mario Lemieux is definitely in there just because of his size and his ability to skate and handle the puck, and he looked like he was hardly moving, and he'd blow right by you. So he would be one of those guys. Eric Lindros, just a tower of power, a massive human being that could just grab guys and throw them out of the way, is a totally different NHL just because of his sheer physicality of the game and the fact the red line was in and clutching and grabbing and tackle. Here's a great stat for you guys just to speak to that point. In the 04 Stanley Cup Final, Calgary played Tampa in 7 games. Whomever scored the first goal in any one of those 7 games won the game. There was never a lead change once because it was tackle football on ice. It was unwatchable. If you were a fan of Tampa, I'm sure you loved it because your team won the cup, but it was unwatchable hockey. And that's when we had the nuclear winter, no hockey for a year, and the new rules came in. The red line came out, zero tolerance on obstruction. But in those days, when it was tackle football on ice, guys like Jaromir Jagr, Eric Lindros, Mario Lemieux, big people that could just overwhelm you. Those guys were physical freaks, and Mario is right at the top of the list.
All right, Pierre, I'll ask you quickly to go in the other direction. Who was the best player you ever saw who kind of overcame his size or some sort of athletic limitation?
Well, there are a lot of those guys, but I would say one of them would be Theo Fleury. Theo was amazing. I mean, if you think about it, he was playing in that tackle football NHL, and he was, you know, a key part of the 89 Stanley Cup win for Calgary, and had a phenomenal, phenomenal career. Undersized guys that did well. Johnny Gaudreau right now in Calgary. If you ever saw Johnny Gaudreau without equipment on, you'd think he was the mascot for the team. You would not. No, this guy's a superstar athlete. He's an amazing. But if you saw him without his equipment on, you'd be like, there's no way that guy's an NHL player. But he is. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete. Just trying to go over.
Does
time.
Crosby belong in that category of a smaller guy?
No, Sid is a massive human being. He just doesn't have the overall height. I got in a lot of trouble for saying this, but I'm going to say it again because I've been proven right, and nobody ever apologized to me. In the 2005 World Junior, I said, Sidney Crosby's got the imagination of Mario Lemieux, because I could speak to it because I had the privilege of working with Mario. He's got the amazing ability to create plays with peripheral vision like Wayne Gretzky, and he's got the strength and the overwhelming power to overwhelm you like Peter Forsberg. Put all three of those guys together in one body. That's Sidney Crosby.
Wow.
It's not bad.
Well
said. I think I would take that player.
Pierre, my last question is this. How do we get some of those athletes that I mentioned who play other sports, how do we get them playing hockey in this country?
The great Bob Johnson, who was a mentor to me, and I miss him every day, and I'll tell you another part of that story when we're almost done here. But the great Bob Johnson used to sit around in Pittsburgh in our dressing room, and Barry Smith would be there, Rick Keogh would be there, Curry Patrick would be there, I'd be there, Scotty Bowman would be there. He said, we got to get the best athletes playing hockey. We need more rinks in more inner cities. And he had this great passion to him. and we'd speak that. We said, we got to build more rinks. We got to build more rinks. We got to get more people involved. We got to make equipment cheaper. We got to get more ex-players coaching in these inner cities. That was his vision. That was his belief. We're starting to get more and more of that, which is great, which is phenomenal, but we're not there yet. And just want to give a shout-out. 2 weeks ago, I was out in Madison, Wisconsin, visiting with Mark Johnson, Badger's son, and the University of Wisconsin women team, and I had a chance to speak with them before they went into the NCAA tournament. They won it yesterday. In three NCAA tournament games, they did not give up a goal.
Wow.
And Mark Johnson is a former Pittsburgh Penguin, is the coach of that team, and he's basically the owner of that team. He's done unbelievable things for the University of Wisconsin women's program and for women's hockey in general. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal person.
We'll end on that note. Pierre, we'll talk to you again next Monday. Thank you so much.
This is like one of the most fun parts of my week. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Pierre McGuire.
Take
care. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.